You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. The World Series starts tonight, Tony. Don't you wish you could see it in person?
Tony Kornheiser, yeah, but I don't think both teams could fit in my attic.
No.
You know, I used to love to go to World Series games. I used to love to sit in the aux box, you know, 400 feet away from the game and talk with the other writers who were in the aux. Didn't you feel the same way? Didn't you love World Series games? I did.
You know, I was in the main box. I was, you know, I was right there with George Will and, you know.
Yeah.
All the other
better
big
than
time
I.
writers, you know.
I was in the aux.
David Halberstam.
When I walked in near the field, they said, hey,
I didn't
buddy,
do the aux
you
box.
Go to the aux.
No, it's a main box guy.
That's how it works. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Saints beat the Seahawks. Mike Tomlin is not going to USC. And the Chicago Bulls are 4-0. But we begin today with the World Series. Game one in Houston is a few hours away. Charlie Morton, who has a 7-4 postseason record and used to be an Astro, will go for Atlanta. Framber Valdez, coming off 8 great innings against the Red Sox, will go for Houston. Wilbon, could the Astros winning the World Series erase the stain of 2017?
No. No. All we got to do is go back 100 years. What's the most infamous team in the history of baseball? The 1919...
Black Sox.
White Sox, yeah. The Black Sox scandal. Yeah. And a year is attached. An image is attached. We even have players attached. Shoeless Joe Jackson. No. No. That has lived in infamy for 100 years. So no, it's not gonna remove the stain. Now we do live in a culture now where things go away quickly because somebody else's scandal replaces your scandal, like, you know, weekly. So at some point in, I don't know, 5-10 years, it'll ease. If the Astros win, the Black Sox, the White Sox, they didn't get a chance right away to win. And they didn't win a World Series a couple of years later. So they're stuck with what they're stuck with. The Astros have a chance to not change history, but sort of redirect it going ahead.
Yeah, so I would quibble with the word erase. I think that's too strong a word. I think if they win, it would mitigate some of the feelings about them. Because, Mike, what it would do is give them 2 world championships in 5 years and 3 trips to the World Series in 5 years. And then you're talking about dynasty of sorts. 3 times in 5 years with 2 wins, even if one win is totally tainted, this one presumably is not tainted. I think that it would not glorify, but it would force you to have more respect for that infield of Bregman and Correa and Altuve and Gurriel. I think, you know, you would say they withstood all of the hard feelings about them. You could probably still hate them, but grudgingly you'd have to say that they did well. I think, honestly, I do think Atlanta's going to win. And I think that that's the more convenient narrative, actually. Because if Houston loses this, you can say, you see, they can only win when they cheated. So you can double down on the fact that they cheated. It's not like with the Patriots, Mike. When the Patriots cheated, they won. And when they didn't cheat, they won. And that complicates the feelings about it.
Well, then Houston could have people with complicated feelings about them. If they win as they cheat and they win after they cheat, and you presume they can't cheat now,
right,
then people will have to, you know, sort of figure out how they want to feel about it. Look, my father's family is from Atlanta. They're in Georgia. They're in Georgia now. The people who didn't come up north during the migration, they're in Georgia. They're in Atlanta. I'm getting text messages from all my first cousins about the Braves. And so now, and they watch the show, I'm going to say this. I'm rooting for Houston. What are you going to do? You're not going to come to Thanksgiving dinner? I don't care. I'm rooting for the Astros and Dusty Baker. Now.
Your Thanksgiving dinner is 400 people. Everybody's
got
to wear a mask.
You called during a
couple
of those.
That's a super spreader event in Atlanta for you. Oh, didn't talk about that. I'll make one small point about Atlanta why I think they're going to win.
Why?
They have in the playoffs won close games. both against Milwaukee and the Dodgers. Houston's not in close games. They have one close game in all of those games.
A 5-4
game in game one against Boston.
Atlanta's got to make them
close. So it's a small point that I'm making, but it's the only point I have.
It's a good point, except if Atlanta if the Astros come out there and start banging home runs in the first couple of innings, then you're going to have no point. But we'll get to that. We got 2 weeks. The Saints edged the Seahawks last night. Alvin Kamara had a combined 179 yards rushing and receiving as the Saints moved to 4-2. It was the Seahawks' third loss in a row, and after the game, head coach Pete Carroll lamented being without the injured Russell Wilson, saying, quote, "Let's say it this way, I've been here a long time, and if we didn't have Russell, I probably wouldn't have been here a long time," close quote. Tone, is the bigger storyline the Saints winning or how the Seahawks look without Russell Wilson?
So that's a rough game to watch. You know, it's raining. Both teams stink. They have backup quarterbacks for 10 years. If you tune into New Orleans and Seattle, you expect Drew Brees and Russell Wilson. You know, and you get Jameis Winston and Geno Smith. I didn't even know Geno Smith was still in the league. Plus, you get a 13-10 game that's not particularly satisfying. So I am not going to sit here and say the bigger story is New Orleans winning, because New Orleans, to me, is an unimpressive 4-2. I'm going to say the bigger story is how bad is Seattle without Russell Wilson. And the answer is they're pretty bad. They're 0-3 without Russell Wilson. It is the first time, let me get the year right, since 2011 that they are three games below 500. And they've had chances to win, and Geno Smith doesn't close. They average 15 points on offense with Geno Smith and 24 with Russell Wilson. That's a direct comparison.
Well, this is not a surprise. And first of all, you know, what in the world you're doing in the year 2021 as we head toward 2022 with no clicker in your house to get off that game is just unbelievable. Because, you know, I went to league pass, and I had a lot of things
to
watch while you're watching some dopey game in the rain. Now, Russell Wilson is the greatest player in the history of the Seattle Seahawks. I don't need Pete Carroll to tell me that in the middle of late October. I don't need Pete Carroll. You got eyes. Russell Wilson, best player they've ever had. He's right about everything he said, Pete Carroll. So this is what you're going to come down to. Geno Smith is not playing poorly. He's keeping them in the games. They've had chances to win these games that he's in without the Hall of Fame quarterback. So the story is Seattle. It ain't the Saints, who I'm not even ready to pay attention to yet.
Pete Carroll can throw all the bouquets at Russell Wilson and he wants,
and
it doesn't change this, Mike, that 6 months ago, Russell Wilson said, "I don't want to be there anymore." He said the offensive line stinks, and he gave them a list of teams that he would go to, one of which was New Orleans. Can you imagine if Russell Wilson, healthy right now, was on New Orleans? I think that they would be a very good team. And the question becomes for Russell Wilson when he gets back, maybe after Jacksonville and after the bye, if he gets back against the Packers, can he get him into the playoffs?
No.
Can he do that?
I can answer that right now. Pete Carroll,
3-5.
No.
All right. I admit we are doing this next story just to play the soundbite by Mike Tomlin, which is tremendous. As you know, the USC job is vacant. A lot of coaches have been asked if they had any interest in it. Urban Meyer was asked about it a couple of weeks ago. Today, Tomlin was asked about it. Let us watch and listen.
Hey, guys, I don't have time for that speculation. I mean, that's a joke to me. I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never. Okay? Anybody else got any questions about any college jobs? There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. Thank you. Anybody asking Sean Payton about that? You know, anybody asking Andy Reid about stuff like that?
Wilbon, your thoughts on the rumor and Tomlin's response?
Well, I got lots of thoughts. The response is partially because he's irritable, because his team is no good, and his Hall of Fame quarterback is going away. I mean, relatively soon. You know how much I love Big Ben and watch him. It's over, okay? So they got to start over. And you don't just find Hall of Fame quarterbacks growing on trees. So Tomlin's irritable anyway that he's got a bad team and they're going south. He may make them rebound to some extent, but then he gets asked this question. And the two lines I love, one of the best jobs in all of professional sports. That is no exaggeration. He's got that. The other one, not a booster with a big enough blank check. Oh, that's wrong. Okay? That's wrong. Because John Gruden said he wasn't leaving for years, said he wasn't going to leave coaching, wasn't going to leave Monday Night Football, wasn't going to come back. Why'd he come back? Because $100 million. So Mike Tomlin can say that if he wants. There are people in Southern Cal and every other school in America in the Power Five that have a booster with a big enough check. But it's a wonderful soundbite. I love listening to Tomlin all the time.
Yeah, so my feeling about this is it's perfectly reasonable to ask any coach, pro or college, if they would be interested in USC. USC is one of the great programs ever in football. It's perfectly reasonable to ask Urban Meyer, who just was a college coach, if he's interested. It's perfectly reasonable to ask Pete Carroll, who actually coached there, if he would be interested. And it's perfectly reasonable to ask Mike Tomlin, who has won a Super Bowl and is sitting on a franchise that, as you say, is sinking, if he would be interested in USC. I don't know really why he's annoyed at this. I mean, you know, he could have the job. The point is, he could snap his fingers and have the job if he wanted it. He's that good. He has won a Super Bowl. He mentions Andy Reid and Sean Payton because they're, you know, they have the same amount of experience as he does, and they've won a Super Bowl like he has. I'll say this, Mike. If you looked at an NBA coach, let's say Eric Spoelstra or Rick Carlisle or Nick Nurse, who have won NBA championships, and the Duke job or the North Carolina job came open, it seems to me it's reasonable to ask, would you be interested?
You know
so if you ask Mike Tomlin, would you be interested in USC, that's reasonable.
It might be reasonable, but it's sort of stupid. It's sort of dopey. Because pro coaches of the magnitude you're talking about, they're not looking at college. And they're not impressed because it's Duke. Even though everything about Duke is impressive on its own level. Okay? So when you say
Urban Meyer came open?
Listen, Urban Meyer does not equal Mike Tomlin on the NFL landscape.
No, but if you look at Alabama, a job that anybody might think about, they took a guy who was in the NFL
He hadn't won a Super Bowl. He wasn't equal to Mike Tomlin.
He won a championship.
And he's the greatest college football coach ever. Don't try to sneak away from it now. It's sort of a dopey question. Good for Tomlin.
Coming up, which 3-4 team is more likely to make the playoffs, the Chiefs or the Patriots?
And are the Bulls or the Dubs off to the more impressive start? Toss-up is next, Steph Curry.
Carson Palmer brought up the name to Dan Patrick. Yeah. Carson Palmer, a grad of USC.
Yeah.
That's why
they're talking
about
it. I want him too. I think it's reasonable. I want Mike Tomlin. But if I'm tired, then I'm going to check.
Pardon the interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are watching Pardon the Interruption, presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, and for dinner, eats a significant percentage of the candy he had intended to hand out on Halloween. That's a great line. Sorry, kids. What's first?
Toss up, which 3-4 team is more likely to make the playoffs, the Chiefs or the Patriots?
So the easy answer is neither, but I will play the game. I don't think it's the Patriots. You cannot count beating the Jets as being meaningful at all. They have 3 wins this year. 2 are against the Jets, 1 is against Houston. That is the dregs of the NFL. And this is what they got coming up, Mike. At Chargers, at Panthers, Cleveland, at Atlanta, Tennessee, and Buffalo. They're 2-4 in that at best. So that's 5-8. I think you need 11 wins in a 17-game season. So I will say Kansas City because they're working with more. They're working with Patrick Mahomes instead of Mac Jones. And if they beat the Raiders twice, I think they're on a path to maybe make the playoffs.
If I laid out all the games that the quarterbacks, those 2 quarterbacks have played this year, Mac Jones has had the best of all of them. He had that big game last week where they put up more than 50 points, as you correctly point out. Jets, Texans. That's, I mean, come on. You can't count that. That means that the Patriots are 0-4 in Division I games. So, no, I'm not gonna say the Patriots. And I don't think the Chiefs are any good either. I don't think the Chiefs are just in some slump. And they're going to, you know, flip the switch, as everybody says, and all of a sudden become the Chiefs of 2 years ago. I don't believe that either. But if you're asking me to compare these two specifically, Chiefs,
so Chiefs,
not Pats.
Yeah. By the way, one of those losses for New England is to Miami. It's a 1-win team. What's next?
Toss up, more impressive start, the 4-0 Bulls or the 3-0 Warriors?
All right, I will yield most of my time to you because I haven't watched this. The Bulls are 4-0, but they're not beating Murderers Row. Pistons, Pelicans, Pistons, Raptors, composite record 2-12. Plus, it's the Pistons without the number 1 overall pick, Cade Cunningham, and there's no Zion for the Pelicans. The Warriors beat the Lakers in L.A. They beat the Clippers. They beat Sacramento. So right now, they're the champions of California, and they beat them without Klay Thompson and without Wiseman. So, I mean, I'm happy for you. The Bulls are over 500 for the first time since 2017. But if what is the more impressive start is the Golden State Warriors
it's
right
the Golden
now.
State Warriors. There's no arguing that, so I'm not going to argue that. What's good about the Bulls, Tony, is Zach LaVine has come back from being on the Olympic team, and he seems, from all indications, to be a different guy, to have seen close up what great leaders do and knows that he has to be one. You know, Zach LaVine, in his career, he's won some things like dunk contests, and he's a high flyer. He's a highlight reel. He's like Dominique Wilkins was, you know, 30 years ago. Tony, last night is the first time, I believe, Zach LaVine has ever won 4 straight games in all his years in the NBA. So the Bulls, this is the first time the Bulls are 4-0 to start a season since Michael, Jeffrey, Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Tony Kukoc, Ron Harper, whoever else was on that second group, Dennis Rodman.
That's
the
right.
Bulls look
you know
so
what?
Much better.
And they're not walking through that door.
No, they're not.
Michael Jordan's not.
But it's
walking
the Warriors.
Through that door.
It's the Warriors.
Klay Thompson's going to walk through that door. Not
we
Michael
hope.
Jordan.
Soon
that's
we
it.
Hope.
Let's take one last break, but still to come. What could the potential absence of Davante Adams mean for the Packers against your Arizona Cardinals?
Bulls playing defense, too. And Coby White, he is walking through that door. And what, if anything, does Joe Flacco do for the Jets? Come on. Nada. This is not,
I don't know,
2012.
He's a pleasant fella.
No.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 73rd birthday yesterday, Dave Cowens. When you think of the great Celtics players, you begin with Bill Russell and Bob Cousy and John Havlicek, and then you go to Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, and Kevin McHale, and finally end up with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. And invariably, you forget Dave Cowens, and this is a mistake. Cowens is one of the NBA's all-time 75 players. He came out of Florida State with red hair, great jumping ability, a quick left-handed touch, and a tireless all-around game. He was Rookie of the Year in 1971, MVP of the league in 1973. He led the Celtics to NBA titles in 74 and 76. Cowens averaged 17.6 points per game in his career and a prodigious 13.6 rebounds. For all that, the Celtics retired as number 18. And to show you how all-around Cowens was, he is one of only five players ever to lead his team in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals in the same season. Michael Jordan never did that. Cowens did in 1978.
Tony, I mean, Cowens put up numbers that, you know, everybody thinks they're so tough now. Cowens went out, and he's playing against Kareem, and he's playing against Wes Unseld, and he's playing against Big Bob Lanier, and he's playing against Bill Walton. They get 21 and 16. So when guys can go out there and do that today, then they can pop their jerseys, because that's what Dave Cowens does. And he's forgotten all too often, as you said. Cowens, he led two championship Celtics teams, and it was pretty much him and Havlicek. Yes, they had JoJo White. They had some other good players, but really, Tone, it was him and Havlicek with JoJo White, and they together were great.
Happy anniversary, Ben Roethlisberger. On this day 7 years ago, Big Ben completed 40 of 49 pass attempts for a career-high 522 yards and six touchdowns in a 51-34 win over the Indianapolis Colts. In the history of the NFL, there have been only 25 500-yard passing games. Tom Brady and Drew Brees have each done it twice. Everyone else on that list has done it once except Roethlisberger, who has done it a stunning four times. Roethlisberger has his Super Bowl rings. He has his place in Steelers history behind Terry Bradshaw. He's 39 years old. His contemporaries from his draft class of 2004, Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, are retired. Ben's statistics this year are ordinary so far, as is his 3-3 Steelers team. Roethlisberger has seven touchdowns, four interceptions. His rating of 86 is 25th in the league. Mike, you wonder if this year is it.
Tony, it may be. And if it is, okay. Because Ben Roethlisberger has put together what you just read is a Hall of Fame resume. Two Super Bowl rings. So when people say, oh, I don't know, I want to take a swing at somebody, Ben Roethlisberger needs to go right into the Hall of Fame with no delay. None.
Happy trails, Joe Flacco. The veteran quarterback is heading north up I-95, having been traded from Philadelphia to the Jets as an insurance policy now that Zach Wilson is out for at least two games. Flacco was on the Jets last year, but you will understand if he is reluctant to remember that he started four games when Sam Darnold got hurt and lost all four. Flacco had not played at all for Philadelphia, where Jalen Hurts has taken every snap and Gardner Minshew is the backup. The Jets traded for Flacco because he once won a Super Bowl and because they now plan on starting Mike White against Cincinnati. You might remember White as a 2018 fifth-round draft choice by Dallas out of Western Kentucky, or you might not.
He just goes up and down I-95 like you. Does he stop at your place in Delaware to get sandwiches when he's going from Philadelphia to Baltimore, whatever it is?
One omission, Blackhawks president Stan Bowman is out after an investigation found he failed to respond promptly to an accusation that an assistant coach sexually assaulted a player in 2010.
And the NHL also announced he's fined the Blackhawks $2 million.
Real quick to the big finish, yep. Real quick. Jerry Jones says he feels good about Dak Prescott's availability for this Sunday's game against the Vikings. Big deal?
No. Packers receiver Devontae Adams is on the COVID list. Could miss Thursday's game against the Cardinals. Is that significant?
Can't win without him. Carly Lloyd plays her final game tonight. Your thoughts?
One of the great careers in American soccer. There's only one thought. Auston Matthews of the Maple Leafs scored his 200th goal last night. He's 24. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, not as quick as Ovechkin and Gretzky. Last one, Nuggets of Jazz tonight. Who you got?
I'll be saying Jazz a lot when you ask me this question. I think they could be the next champion, Tone. Could be.
We're out of time. We will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.